Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos, and Bob, now that we've gone to the summer hours, which is once a week, usually on Thursday, it feels like it was so long ago since the last podcast, because when you do it twice a week, you know, here's some math for you. That's double the amount than what this is.
It's an excellent, excellent equation you put together.
Thank you.
When we used to do a radio show together, we saw each other 5 days a week.
Yeah.
But we really saw each other Monday through Friday, right? Like
yeah.
The weekend we had off.
Yeah.
So really,
we had off from each other.
So look at it this way, though. Like we, 2/5 of our work week remained the same.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Yeah.
Right? Like we would see each other about 40% as often as we used to see each other
mm-hmm.
when we worked together.
That's right.
So, yeah, now we're down to 20%. I barely know you.
I
Who
know.
Are you?
Who
I
is
saw
this
some
fella?
Guy knocking on my door. I went and got my little Catelli bat.
Oh, and I needed I needed you to open that door because I had to pee so bad. Like, this was the one where 2 minutes into the drive from TSN down to here. Like, I'm not even on the DVP yet. And all I'm thinking is...
The DVP.
I never even thought about that. Good catch. And I was thinking, do I stop off at my house first to pee? And you know, Bob, I'd be totally against that because that's such a time suck. Like I was actually calculating that's taking about 14 minutes out of my day. And then I was looking.
And mine.
And yours. And I was looking at the empty Gatorade bottle and I'm like, do I? And I'm like, no.
Have you ever?
No. No, because once you start that stream, you know, you can't, just like you can't cross streams in Ghostbusters, you can't stop the
stream.
It's
like going in the shower. Once you've done it, there's no reason to not do it anymore.
I pee every day in the shower.
Because you have.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no barrier to entry.
No.
Because that seal has been broken.
Done.
That's the thing about social mores. Once they're broken, they're gone. They only exist to exist.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I had to pee.
Why do
so
I not
bad.
Burp at the in public at the table?
Social. It's the social
Because
contract.
I don't.
Yeah.
But if I did, then I would.
Oh, Sandra right now has got a shiver of just the idea of you deciding, you know what, belching at the table. This is my new thing. This is my New Year's resolution.
Somewhere she's leaning over and put it with her hand on her hand going, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a little Jays.
Yep.
I want to talk a bit of Joey Votto with you.
Mm-hmm.
And some Raptors too, because even though they're not in the news, now everything the Celtics do puts them back in the news.
Yeah, it really does.
And that's also true of Budenholzer getting hired by Milwaukee. So we can get to that later. But since you brought up urination,
yep.
I'm sitting here and you and I do a segment called Is It Wrong?
Yeah.
Where I throw out moral questions to you, ethical questions to you, and you answer them
yeah.
as best as you can. And this is another place where we find out how different you and I are
okay.
about our lives. So yeah. you talked about peeing in this and how you're trying to streak down here as quickly as possible, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it wrong to use a restaurant bathroom and not buy anything?
How bad you got, like...
Bad enough that you would, like, leave the street and go in. Like, that's the last option.
No, that's fine. If it's at that point, if it's casual urination, well, then I got a problem with you. But right. if it's I really got to go, then yep, come on in, use the bathroom.
What exactly is casual urination? Because I don't really think people go to the washroom to see if they have to go.
Well, no, when you go in and you're like, okay, here's the difference. You ready?
Yeah.
No, I got to pee. Versus, I gotta pee. Like, there's different degrees of it. Here's the difference. I've been pre-drinking before we go to the bar, and now I'm on the cab on the Gardner, and there's a traffic jam, and it's like, oh God. Versus, I'm just at home. It's 3:30 in the afternoon. I had a tea earlier. Yeah, I gotta pee. So,
but the question isn't whether or not you should use it. The question is whether or not you have to buy something once you've used it.
If it's a casual pee, then yeah, buy something.
But why does the urgency of your bladder determine how the bathroom owner is compensated?
Because I don't believe in absolutism. So I don't like I've never liked the idea of, well, you know, there's a blanket rule for everything. When you have a blanket rule, basically what you're doing is you're protecting dumb people for, you know, who are unable to handle nuance. So for me, I don't have a blanket rule. If it's just a casual pee, we could probably still hold it. If you're going to use the restaurant, buy something tiny.
Well, we'll come back to this, okay? Matt, do you hear yourself speak sometimes? Yeah. You have nothing but absolute rules, okay? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on not dressing up for the airplane?
Oh, my God. What are you, a hobo? I mean, hey, listen. You with the track pants and the flip-flops. You're not in your rec room. Get some better clothes on.
To quote Barbara Walters, I west my case.
I don't know. I was trying to think of something using the word north or east in a sentence, but I'm not that smart.
You have nothing but absolute views. In fact, I watch them sometimes form.
Yep.
I saw Ron Dane is the worst running back of all time.
Well, that's fact.
That's sure.
It's a fact.
Right. Everyone knows according that. To his Wikipedia page, which you doctored.
All the time.
Love that's lasagna. That's a Wikipedia banned you. Mm-hmm. And now I've seen how Kevin Durant's move to Golden State has become like this thing in your mind.
It's not mine. I've heard it on a lot of other radio shows. He's ruined the NBA.
No. But I've seen you adopt it. Yeah. Where, like, I can't even bring up Bill Simmons now because Bill Simmons likes Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Well, I love Simmons, but when he has Kevin Durant on, I will not listen to the propaganda of Mr. Lazy Durant.
Okay, so I rest my case, Matt. You have nothing but absolute views.
Absolutely not. Absolutes have their place as long as it's not done absolutely. There are some things I feel passionate about. How you dress on a plane, Kevin Durant, raisins, and there's other things where there is shades of
this gray. Conversation started out about how absolute views were just there to protect dummies.
Yeah.
And then you finished this conversation by saying, so as you can see, there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah, there's a time and place to be a dummy. What, do you want to be smart every day? Woo, that's a lot of work.
And I continue, and we'll move on from here.
Well, what's your...
Do you ever listen to yourself?
All the time. And here's the thing, Bob.
Well, because you're always speaking.
Your point is that you should be able to use a restaurant whenever you want, go to the bathroom without ever...
I didn't make a point.
What's that?
I didn't make a point.
Yeah, but I know that's your point.
It isn't. Okay. I actually think you have to buy something. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a chain, I kind of have some flexibility, like if it's a Starbucks bathroom, although that comes with its own issues these days. But if you're going to McDonald's or you're in a Walmart, I don't feel like you have to buy something.
Yeah.
They're doing fine. But if I go to Pete's Corner Grill over at the corner of Queen and Sororin.
Yeah.
I'll get a fries.
Yeah.
I'll buy a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I have to do it. But it's not dictated by the urgency of me going. I'm assuming if I'm going, it's because I got to go.
But see, we're more lockstep on this. It's all about time and place.
See, I'm contextual. Mm-hmm. I'm contextual about this.
As am I.
And to me, it's more like, do I think that the proprietor needs the money? Mm-hmm. Like, I believe in mom and pop shops. Yep. And I'm terrified by the rampant plague-like spread of huge chains.
Yeah.
So I try to support mom and pops where I can.
Yeah. In that, we're in agreement. There's nothing worse than just seeing another drugstore, be another Pharma Plus or whatever, Shoppers, just everywhere.
It's just, you know, we should send this out on our Twitter feed, which we never actually do when we say we're going to.
How's our Instagram account?
How the hell would I know?
By the way, do you realize...
I thought you started it.
No, you said you were going to do the Macro and
Matt, don't count on me for anything, okay?
Don't do what Don don't does.
Whatever I say I'm going to do, trust that it won't happen.
So a Twitter thing about mom and pop shops.
No, actually, there's this really great time-lapse video on YouTube about the rise of Walmart from its beginning. And I think it was in 62 or something like that was the first store in the middle of the States, just a Midwestern shop.
Yep.
And then year by year, you can see how they grow. And I swear, it looks like the spread of a plague. It's like pop, 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 pop. And all of a sudden, the entire map of North America is just swamped by them. And there winds up being like 4,000 stores or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you know, I can't say I don't use it.
Yeah.
It is awful easy and the prices are good.
Mm-hmm.
But I do try to use mom and pop shops. Even to pee, Matt.
Even
to pee. Because then I will walk out with my Aberfoyle water. Whatever the cheapest bottle water is.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go for the Nestle.
Yeah, Aquafina. What am I, some rich guy here?
Exactly.
Get out of here.
Evian. I might as well get a beer.
Yep. A little bit later, because we'll get to sports.
Yes.
Two things I want to throw out to you. Your daughter may have better handwriting than me.
Okay.
And what is the top... leftover food?
Ooh, you know, I did throw together an impromptu top five about SNL cast members.
Really?
Because I hung out with Dan Aykroyd yesterday.
Were you at the SCTV taping?
No, I didn't go.
Okay.
I didn't go to that. No, it was National Caesars Day.
Okay.
And he was promoting, so he was at Strombo's house, and we recorded an interview with him. Mm-hmm. But we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
Let's do some sports.
Yep.
I always find, like, around the 8-9 minute mark, my tolerance for our self-indulgence starts to wane.
Yeah.
I figure other people's, they kicked out 6 or 7 minutes ago.
So we're at 9:40.
Right.
If this is around your breaking point, how much longer do you think I can handle our indulgence before I get tired of it?
Well, we have to split into two parts at 1 hour, so 59 minutes. Because you don't want to have to do the work of splitting it in two.
57 minutes. And then at the 15th minute, Austin Matthews charged with murder. Anyway, we got to go. Goodbye, everybody. Chick-chicka.
Where do you want to start with sports? We started with Raptors a lot. I kind of want to start with baseball today.
Sure.
It went summer hours. That's the summer pastime.
I mean, is there anything else beyond Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
I was going to say, my takeaway, Vladdy.
Do you want to do Vladdy or Votto? Which V?
That's a good question. Dueling Vs. Well, there's not much to say about Vladdy except that it'll be sweet when he gets here. Some scouts are saying, I'm seeing now, that they think he's like Bryce Harper-esque.
You hear that? You hear A-Rod? Like, you hear all of that from a variety of scouts.
Hitting .415 at double A.
Yeah.
He's going to get promoted to triple A. The question is, see, I don't know. This is weird, right? Because if this were the Leafs, we saw this with Nylander. There was the clamoring to get him up. And then there was also the argument that said, no, don't throw him up prematurely because he's just going to a mediocre team and everyone's going to focus on him. And it puts an undue spotlight on a young kid. It's better if the team is more balanced out, where he's not the only thing going.
Yeah.
Remember when Brett Laurie came up when the Jays sucked and the Toronto Sun had the banner, cover, Laurie is coming.
It's a good point. And everything comes, you're right. Actually, the Brett Laurie, God, that takes me back. I was actually just thinking about that when you mentioned it.
He blocked you too, but that was because of your reading his tweets bit.
Okay, people that have blocked me. Now we're going self-indulgent again. Real quick. One, Jeff Blair. We used to have a radio show going up against Jeff Blair. Blair didn't block you.
He did block me.
Did he?
Eventually, yeah.
I don't
First you, then me.
I don't follow him. I've never tweeted at him. I'm friends with people like Jeff Merrick, Eric Smith, Benny. And he's like, there's a bunch of Fan 590 guys that we have a very cordial Twitter relationship. And yet he blocked me, which seemed weird.
I think he blocked everybody, though. I don't think it was just us. Although we were right up against him, though.
I know, but
we were his direct competition, and we were better.
You know, it's just why would, what sort of insecurity is that to block? What is that going to accomplish? Nothing. And Jack Todd from the Montreal Gazette. I sent one tweet his way, and I was just having fun, going, ain't nobody get me hyped up for a Toronto sports event more than Jack Todd, because Jack Todd hates all things Toronto. And within seconds, someone tweeted me, and they're like, Jack Todd just blocked you. No sense. Anyway, people in sports, you're really thin-skinned. Everyone's really sensitive.
All right. Well, that's a good bridge to get back to Vladdy Guerrero.
Vladdy Guerrero. Okay. Here's my main thing for the Blue Jays. I want them to bring him up when it's going to help Vlad Guerrero Jr. become a better player.
Right.
I don't want them to bring him up to try to win games because they're not going to get a wild card spot and or to help with attendance because attendance is down about 12,000 this year versus last year per game, which that's a huge number, by the way. I just want them to do it when it's best for him. Keith Law says don't do it. A lot of scouts say do it. There's conflicting on it. Do it when it's best for his development.
You know, the draft is such a weird thing. You say how they're not going to get a wild card, and that seems reasonable. They're about to start to play the A's. The A's are also off to a pretty good start in their division. But you can just see, like, the A's, the J's, these are teams that when you get to the dog days of summer and the really great teams keep churning, and, things like the rotation or the tired bullpen start to catch up with the J's, like, they're going to drop off. You're right.
Yeah.
But there isn't that same incentive to root for them to be crappy unless they're going to be all the way Houston Astros 100 loss crappy. Because I was looking at Deck McGuire, who just got optioned.
Yeah.
And he was an 11th overall first round pick.
Yeah.
You know who went 13th that year?
Who?
Chris Sale. So who the hell knows anything,
who the hell
right?
Knows?
Who the hell knows anything? I guess if you could be crappy enough to ensure you get the number one pick, well, that's good.
Yeah.
But that's not what the Jays are doing. So to your point about trying to win games or not win games, look, just do the smartest thing for player development because it's not about where you're going to wind up. You're going to wind up somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So for Vlad Guerrero Jr.,
It's exciting, though.
It is. It is exciting. And also, it's the perfect, everything's come together. Leafs are out. Raptors are out. Jays stink. And the Jays have no exciting position players.
Yeah, it's true. There's actually, the door is open for the Argos again.
Again.
to make some kind of impact.
TFC's not playing well
they're
right
not
now.
They're not playing well. No, no, Matt. Although the Wolfpack is actually a fun night out.
Ooh. Yeah,
I don't know anything about rugby, but they're big and they hit each other. So I can get behind that.
There you go.
And, you know, and they have a peanut-free section at Lamport Stadium. So okay. We can take my daughter. Nice. Okay, so back to this. It's funny, though, and I go to how we can overinvest in these young talents, right? Because everything we hear makes us feel better about the future for Vladdy Guerrero. Mm-hmm. But now I'm reading that Bo Bichette is struggling, and I start to panic. And what the hell does that mean? He's a kid in baseball. Like, they all go through ups and downs. It's insane to watch their progress month by month. But then, insane.
Yeah, it is. And also, it's something we've never done before. We're not used to this. We don't know how to
We had a little bit with the sort of the Lansing three. You know, when it was Syndergaard, Nicolino, and Sanchez. We kind of watched.
Not like this.
Not like this, though.
And, you know, with Bichette, he's still one of the top prospects. You know, so I don't get concerned about that. I mean, or at least I'm not as emotionally invested.
Would you rather drive to Buffalo with a free ticket if Vladdy Guerrero is playing in Buffalo, AAA, if he gets promoted? Would you rather go and watch him play in Buffalo with a free ticket and an hour and a half drive, or go to the Dome on a Wednesday afternoon for free to watch the Jays play the Twins?
Ooh. Now, the key there is, you said 90 minutes, so the QEW is doing okay.
Right.
Because the QE, if I'm guaranteed the QEW is good.
I think in this equation, we should assume
best
travel possible.
Okay, I'm looking at you, Oakville. God.
So true.
It doesn't matter
who lives there besides everybody.
It doesn't matter what time of day. I would probably take that because Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, you are watching the future. Those guys are more relevant than everyone on the Blue Jays, with the exception of Stroman, Sanchez, and Osuna, TBA. And that's it. There's no one else on the Jays you look at and go, that's part of the future. Plus, cheap Kahlua that you can take home afterwards.
Duty-free.
Duty-free.
The prospect of duty-free as opposed to a $14 Diet Coke.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good point. I hadn't even thought of that, but the snacks are way cheaper at a AAA ballpark.
And you get great names, the Rustlin' Ponies. I mean, right now, Vlad Guerrero's on the Fisher Cats, which is a type of weasel. Found that out.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I assumed it was a kind of fish or cat.
Or cat, which was an odd, you know, use of those two words next to each other.
Kind of like the horned frogs or the horned frogs, you know, TCU.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lizard.
Yeah.
But they call it the horned frog because people in Texas are wacky.
They are. But yeah, if I had one of those two choices, I'd probably take the go down to Buffalo.
If I was looking for an adventure, I think you're right. Like the ease would be to go down to the Dome. But the truth is, like, I'm enjoying watching the Jays right now. I think a lot of people are. One, because, you know.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good for you. I mean, I'm jealous because if you're enjoying it, you get it every night.
But I'm enjoying it in the sense that Teoscar Hernandez has been pretty good. I'm enjoying it in the sense that Alfred got called up, and so I can watch him play. So I'm getting a taste of the future. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason to cheer for the vets at this point.
No.
Right? Like, they are who they are.
All I want is Donaldson to go on a tear so they can trade and get something decent for him.
Right. Right. And I kind of feel the same way about Sanchez now, too.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd necessarily... I mean, look, I'm not a scout, and this is like literally one of those gut calls you make when you're sitting down in your basement yelling at the TV screen. But something tells me that he might have... He's been pretty up and down throughout his career.
Yep.
And it's pretty rare once you get to a certain point to stop being up and down. Like, eventually patterns start to form. And I've been listening to a lot of people talk about how he's backed away from his fastball. And you start to wonder, like, the injuries that he's had, the blister problem that he's had. Like, there's a lot of great pitching talent prospects that have not realized their potential.
Yeah.
Because of these little things that get in their head.
Oh, I know. I mean,
I just want him to pop the fastball at 97 miles an hour because it's always a good time to do that.
It might be the hardest thing to project in sports. I mean, right up there with defensemen is just what a starting pitcher is going to be. Because also on the other side, Aaron Sanchez.
But like goalies that way, right? Like at 18, you don't really know who's going to be a good goalie at 25.
Yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury. Aaron Sanchez, you know, led the American League in ERA 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting that you, because you're the more logical one of the two of us, you know, you're starting to veer away from Sanchez.
I just think that if you're looking at building towards the future, you got to ask yourself, you know, hello, Toronto Raptors, what do I have to sell?
Yeah.
What do I have? because, you know, you made this point very passionately and eloquently about the Raptors last time we talked, which is if you know you're not a destination for free agents unless you're going to overpay.
Yeah.
And we know that Rodgers isn't especially interested in overpaying.
Nope.
And it doesn't look like Shapiro is interested in trying to get them to overpay. I think he wants to prove that he can find values. Anyway, the point being, you got to get good players somehow.
Yeah.
And if that's going to be via trade, you know, to your point about Donaldson, I'm wondering if maybe Sanchez fits into that too. It seems insane. I probably sound insane. I'm sure there's people listening right now saying, I am stupid for suggesting this.
No.
But if he winds up pitching 500 ball over the next four seasons, it's not going to seem stupid because at that point, you're not getting the same return for him.
Nope, you're not. But
calculated risk.
At least you're not paying him a lot of money.
That's the thing, the team control. And also when Noah Syndergaard goes out there and hits the mitt, you know, at 101 miles an hour and you think, oh, sweet Jesus, he's a Nordic god. Like, you know, I mean, it does hurt to let go of pitching.
It does.
They're not going to do it. I'm just griping.
By the way, speaking of a building for the future, if you got to build for the future and you got to think about your future.
Oh, here we go. Segue master.
What's one thing that you want to think of? You want to think of your will. You want to think of getting your estate in order. I know my estate was not in order. I didn't have a will. I'm afraid of death. I didn't want to have any part of it. My God, it's the last thing.
Are you going to mention that? You're going to mention your fear of death every time you promote Jeff Pollock?
I don't do it every time. I sprinkle it in. I sprinkle it in. But Jeff Pollock is our lawyer. Help me with my...
Fear of death?
I wish. Man, I'd pay him double. He dealt with my will, got it all done really easily. Actually called me the other day just to make sure everything is good. He's our lawyer. He should be yours for any thing you need. And actually, he sometimes sends me information about things going on, like sports gambling and stuff like that. But anyway, litigation, states, trusts, corporate, commercial, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com. The number, 416-777-0088. Also, epollock.com. That's his wife. She takes care of the accounting and the finance. He takes care of the law. One-stop shop. Mom and pop. We both like mom and pop shops. Well, this is the perfect lawyer version.
I got to admit, it does my heart good to know that whatever we can do to support a family that's trying to build a business as a family,
yeah,
I love that.
Ding, ding.
I also got to send him a note asking him, when Doug Ford says he's going to go and knock 10% off of gas prices.
Yeah, he is.
Like, because, you know, he's a conservative guy, Jeff Pollock, and he and I have this ongoing conversation.
And you got
I've got the NDP lawn sign out.
Sign?
They have emailed me about 100 times since I agreed to put that sign out.
Oh, that is a mistake by you. They are going to follow you for the rest of your life.
And it's sneaky. They keep putting all these headers that I have to, you know, I barely stopped crying was one of them. And then underneath it was like a story about someone's challenges and why the NDP could help.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, like they are emotionally blackmailing me to like to support them.
Good for
it
them.
Doesn't take that. Like it just takes Doug Ford and Kathleen Wynne as the candidates for the other two parties.
Yeah, it's not the best case scenario for the options.
Like,
right
do
now
you feel good when you're conservative right now when you see Doug Ford is winning? Like you can say, okay, great. Like Kathleen Wynne, but can you say, okay, great, we get Doug Ford?
No, and the main reason why, it's not about his personality.
Well, that's not great.
Nothing specific.
Nothing.
It's my main problem with all the bleeping parties. Like, listen, you can yell as much as you want about the CEOs of Hydro One voting a raise. You know, that's great. That is such the easy, low-hanging fruit. What is your specific plan? My dream for any of these things is I don't want to know who does it. I want all three parties. All they do is they give a sheet and they don't put their name or their political affiliation, and it's here's what we're going to do, here's specifically how it's going to get done. And then I'll review all three and go, oh, though none of these are perfect, I like that one best. Now tell me what color it is.
Cause Strombo and I are putting together a project that we're going to launch for the federal election, which is going to do exactly what you suggested.
Ooh.
A nonpartisan, basically just checklist of all the major issues and where everyone stands on them, and interviews with people who, you know, are nonpartisan ideally. I don't know if there is such a thing. I don't even think we're really nonpartisan.
You're not nonpartisan?
No, but you can. But I would like to believe that, kind of like a doctor's bedside manner, you can separate yourself.
Yeah.
Like it's natural for a doctor to see pain and feel terrible. Mm-hmm. It would be inhuman not to, but you still got to go out and be a doctor.
Yeah.
So if you're doing journalism, you should have your own opinion, But you shouldn't be looking for things that prove it.
Yeah.
Because that's what opinion, you know, that's what columnists do.
It's got to be facts, no feelings.
100%. So as best as possible. And it's not
a great idea, by the way.
Yeah. And it's been exciting. We've been working with this young woman, Julia Wallace, who's really smart, like smarter than us. Like she basically does all the thinking and,
nice.
You know, we order the Chinese food.
There you go. Very important. By the way, when it's a large group, that's a lot of pressure.
It is.
You never
want. It's actually easier with a large group because you just get a bunch of everything.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's, you know, what's the hardest number to order for? Mm. Three. Because you don't know whether to share or whether to just get your own.
Yeah.
See, when it's five, you can kind of dib dab with everybody and, you know, nobody finishes all. Oh, you're finishing that rib there.
Yeah.
But with three, you get territorial.
Mm, that's a good point. Yeah.
And it's hard to share with three because then you're looking at everyone else's portions really carefully.
By the way, now that we're on this.
Yeah.
Dear restaurants. If you see that I'm with one other person and we order, say, spring rolls, either just, you know, don't bring three. Bring four. If you want to charge an extra buck or whatever, don't bring three. Don't make us cut it up.
Yeah, but the serving is three.
Yeah, but...
You got to go off the menu. You got to go full Dustin Hoffman and just say, I will take the egg whites with shallots, please. But this is a burger joint, Mr. Hoffman, mm-hmm. with shallots. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. Nothing worse than they bring three of something and there's two of you. But that's a great project that you and George are doing. I mean, it's badly needed. And yeah, so that's my problem with old.
You could help us do it
with old Dougie Ford. Hey, let me know what
you
I
have. You have a the project is called Unaffiliated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's kind of a goal for ourselves. But also, it's just you got to do it right. Like if we're what you suggested is 100% the right way we should do it.
Yeah.
And about 20% of the way we do it. In terms of like policy versus personality.
Yeah, I don't care at all about personality. And like I voted liberal before. I voted conservative before. You know, I don't have a just one way. So, for me, it's just.
I voted for every party mm-hmm. at various levels, right? And yeah. I would consider, and I voted for John Tory, and I would say John Tory, you know, who was part of the PC Ontario party once yep. upon a time, has already shown that he leans conservative.
Yeah.
Although he really is a centrist in a classic Canadian style. You know, the leftists think he's like on the far right and the far right thinks he's a pinko.
It's so true.
That's how you know you're doing a good job is everybody hates you from all sides.
Yeah. It's like the great comp, a great deals when both sides feel like, you know, they missed out on something.
This is a good way to get into Joey Votto, actually, just talking about Canadian identity.
Yeah. One final political thought.
Okay, sure.
I hate when someone says, I want to vote for someone that I could have a beer with. I don't want it.
Oh, the worst.
You know who I want? And this might sound odd. I want my politician to be so just intellectually elite. I don't want them to know, you know, who the Spice Girls are or what's going on with the Jays. I don't want them to be relatable. I want them to be some super smart man or woman who is just studying and is a policy wonk, and they were actually the worst person to hang out with. That's who I want
actually,
running.
Your guy was Stephen Harper because that's who he was. He was a policy wonk, highly intelligent, and not much of a personality,
None.
Really. Kind of a cold fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
And cold and calculating about how he meted out his power and acquired more of it. But to your point, that was what you like in a leader. And I can't disagree with that either. I don't understand that I'd like to have a beer with them because I know the people I have beer with.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trust them to lock my bike.
Exactly. Yeah, so Joey Votto.
Okay, so just a quick recap here. He was doing a podcast with Yahoo Sports, came out and basically said, I don't give a rat's ass about Canadian baseball, mm-hmm. went on to denigrate the city of Toronto, the Toronto Blue Jays, and then came out and apologized
was
for it later.
Was it denigrate or said, I just don't care? Well, I don't think he said, I hate Toronto.
That's a fair point. It wasn't an active diss.
Yeah.
But when you say I don't give a rat's ass about something, mm-hmm. that implies that there's passion. Like
you're not going to get them to be in charge of the tourism board for Toronto.
I'm indifferent about a lot of the movies I see.
Yeah.
Right. And I would say, the movies I don't like, I would say I couldn't give a rat's ass about that
movie.
Yeah. Like it kind of implies a bad feeling.
Yes, it does, certainly.
He's apologized.
Mm-hmm.
And the apology is exactly what you would expect. You know, I overspoke. You know, I didn't mean it. I actually like this, that, and the other thing.
Yep.
Some people have accepted that and some haven't. To me, the apology is kind of immaterial. It's whether, to me, the real question is, does the greatest baseball player from this country of all time, basically saying he couldn't give a damn about this place in baseball,
yep.
does that matter?
No. No, it doesn't. because actions are more important than words.
Okay.
And every year he still, you know, goes to the Canadian Baseball Banquet and he raises money for it every year. He comes to Etobicoke every year still to help teach kids. He's represented Canada before twice in the WBC. So if I got my ledger of deeds versus words, the deeds far outweigh the words.
Now, let me ask you, do words count as deeds? And I don't mean to play games with ideas here, but when you go out and you say stuff like that, do we elevate that to the idea of something that you've done? Does it go on your resume or does it just not count because...
Oh, it's on the resume, but it's a smaller font. It was a stupid comment, but a lot of this is our own Canadian insecurity when star player in a sport dominated by Americans, when they say something bad about our country, we sort of get our back up a little bit about it. We get a little insecure.
When we were younger, Greg Rozetsky was a really good tennis player. And he chose to play for Britain and kind of dismissed the Canadian Tennis Federation.
Like, that was far worse what he did.
Yeah.
Because that was an act.
Lennox Lewis won a gold medal for Canada, but then went on to become heavyweight champ as a Brit. Because he knew it was in his much better interest, you know, cash-wise, to be British.
Yeah.
It's funny about how his British accent just popped out of nowhere. He turned into Prince Harry overnight.
Yeah, it's like pulled a Madonna, you know. Wait, Madonna's from New Jersey. Why does she sound like someone from Harry Potter?
I remember Lennox Lewis came to one of those classic OTR Christmas parties that we had back in the day at Landsberg's old event theater. And God, first of all, he's huge. And he stands, comes behind me up at the bar, puts his hand on my shoulder, because we had met earlier that day. His hand is like a loaf of bread. Like my whole shoulder sags under the weight of it. He looks around Landsberg's place and he says, well, that's a right proper gaff, isn't it?
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. I'll never forget it.
What a
it's
faker.
It's a right proper gaff, isn't it?
Oh, did he order some bangers and mash?
I don't know, but I will admit that I went to find out what a gaff is, and apparently it's slang for a place.
That's a good thing he didn't ask you for a cigarette.
Subtle,
thank
Multi-layered.
You. Multi-layered. Wordplay.
By the way, before we go on,
yeah.
God, he was well-dressed. He had a cashmere turtleneck on and this like kind of Charles Oakley fur hat type thing.
Yeah.
Holy Jesus, did he look good. I looked at him. I just thought, you truly are the king of kings.
Yeah. Well, he could pull it off. He was a good looking guy. So for
back to Votto.
Back to Votto. The Rozetsky one, that's a great example. You know what my biggest takeaway in all this was? Mm. I felt bad for Joey Votto. And I felt bad for him because here's a guy who has accomplished so much. 10-year, $225 million deal. He's won an MVP. He's one of the best hitters in the last 25 years. He has done things that even among the baseball world, he's in the top 1%. And yet, to this day, he is still holding on to bitterness and resentment for being passed over by Baseball Canada in high school. Much like Michael Jordan when he was giving big FUs during his Hall of Fame speech, or Tom Brady still being pissed off and drafted in the sixth round. To carry those bitterness and that resentment after you've accomplished so much. Because that's the source of those stupid comments. He's still bitter and angry. I mean, that's the part that shocked me.
The part that I don't get, though, is then why go to the banquets to help raise money for the foundation that you say you don't give a rat's ass about? Like, there seems to be this weird cross-purposes there.
Well, because, you know, I don't think he's defined by 100% bitterness. I think there's part of it. Much like lava spray that's going on in Hawaii, it ain't happening every day. But every now and then, even though you tarred your driveway, and you're like, wait a minute, why is there's no volcano here? Suddenly, every now and then, phoom. So, I mean, I just think, you know, it's like anything. He's not an absolutist. A lot of the times, he's going to support Canada. And then other times, that resentment, it's going to come out.
I always think that when somebody's famous and they talk and they get in trouble for what they say, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Because first of all, sometimes you say stuff that you don't fully mean. Yeah. You might mean it a little, but you say it more strongly. Because, you know, you're putting on a show for the crowd, right? Mm-hmm. The mic goes on. And you're putting on a show.
Yeah.
Also, the night before, you might have had a lousy sleep.
Yeah.
Or 2 minutes before, you read a text from somebody and you got some bad news. Like, you never fully know the context.
Mm-hmm.
So to look at something as the only indication of what a human being is because you heard them say it once, I just think that you got to pump the brakes a bit.
Mm-hmm.
A bit. That said, though, I take this one as pretty disappointing. I was wrong earlier in that Fergie Jenkins is the greatest Canadian baseball player ever. But Joey Votto is probably number two.
Yeah.
You know, from just down the way.
And Larry Walker.
Richview Collegiate.
That's right.
Stephen Harper's former.
Bob Weeks.
And didn't you go there?
Yeah, I went to Richview. Oh, yeah.
Do they have pictures of him up there?
No.
You see, that's what I mean.
I would have gone. Yeah, that's why.
You're 100% right. Like, yeah. We don't love our stars. But anyway. But what if Steve Nash had said when Toronto was courting him, I don't give a rat's ass about Canadian basketball. How would we have responded to that?
Same way. We would have been insecure. We would have been angry.
Right.
And we would have been wrong. You know, where did he play his university ball? I mean, like
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara. And then, you know.
He was the product of the American developmental system after going to high school here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want him to say it, and it bums me out. I just don't have much anger for it because he's not insulting me. And I'm a patriotic fella. I say all the time, geographical lottery. We were born and we live here in Canada. It's so much better than so many other places in the world. But my back just doesn't get up on it.
I think the conflation of nationalism in sports is pretty dodgy most of the time. I really think only the amateur athletes lay any claim to that.
Yeah.
Because they compete for the country. But the second you become a professional, you're really working for yourself and your team.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can represent this country proudly or not. Like, that's kind of your choice.
Yep.
You're making dough. You're getting paid somewhere else. That's fine.
Votto did the WBC twice. Steve Nash. I mean, he went to one Olympics in 2000.
Well, he did pretty good. He kind of changed Canadian basketball forever.
But he didn't go after that. So, I mean, if you want.
Well, he was getting older and broken down. Yeah, I don't know if I buy that argument, but I know where you're going with it.
Yeah.
I will say this. It doesn't make him a bad human being, but it certainly does take away your hero card. Mm-hmm. Like, he may have overstated, as he suggested.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I talk about TSN, no matter what kind of day I have, I never say, you know, I don't give a rat's ass about TSN. Well, you know, they didn't bring me back.
They didn't.
You know, like, I could be angry.
Yeah.
But I'm not, because that's just business, and I get it. You know what I mean? And they also did so much good for me in so many ways at so many different times in my life.
Yeah.
That I just wouldn't say it. But my point is, I wouldn't accidentally slip and say, oh, I hate those guys.
Yeah.
I don't give a rat's ass about them. You know, I might be neutral or say nothing, but I wouldn't go that far. So my point is, if he feels this way and he has this resentment towards Canada in this comparison, the Canadian hero card goes away. Like, I wouldn't expect too many Lou Marshes to decorate his wall from this point on.
The Canadian hero card doesn't go away. It just gets reduced a bit. But I got to tell you, I am, because I love the anarchy of this. I am so rooting for Votto to have his best season. And for all those sports writers, they don't want to do it. You know, but they're like, oh God, no Canadians had a better year than Joey Votto. Oh, that would be glorious.
I have to admit, I was looking at his stats and I'm thinking, God, what if he went like full Ted Williams and hit 400?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. And you know what'd be better? Would it be better if actually he hit 400? It's the greatest achievement. And the writers still didn't give him the Lou Marsh.
He plays 57 straight games.
Yeah, exactly. Like Joe DiMaggio's record, done. Ted Williams, done. They gave it to a pole vaulter. You know, like, we're not.
And the winner is Sidney Crosby.
You know. Or Marc-Andre Fleury. You know, give it to him. Having a hell of a year.
I hope somebody bet on the idea that he would go further in the playoffs than Sid Crosby would.
Oh, yeah. That would be
somebody, I hope, made $1 million off that bet.
Yeah. Speaking of the playoffs, you know what's hard to do, Bob?
What?
You know what's really hard to do?
No.
Get tickets for a playoff game. Ooh. You know what's even harder? Figuring out the conversion rate. You know, because you're on Ticketmaster or those other loser ticket sites looking at you, StubHub. That's why our Canadian partner on this show is SeatGiant. Go to SeatGiant.ca. Concert tickets, sporting tickets, any and all events, legitimate. They stand behind the customer experience. And more importantly, it's in Canadian dollars. No conversion needed. And even more important, when you're there, and you're about to get your tickets, and you're at checkout, you go to the discount code section, type in Bob and Matt, you will get a percentage off. You will save some money. A small amount of money will come back to us. You win, we win, everyone wins. SeatGiant.ca.
Everybody wins.
Everyone wins.
I like that.
Yeah.
Any other sports you want to get to here?
I got other sports. There's other hockey and there's Raptors, but I want to quickly do food.
Oh, you were mentioning something about leftovers.
And
yeah.
By the way, just real quick, a shout out to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sheet of paper here, and I think it's things for a scavenger hunt. And I'm reading her list, and if we had a contest for better handwriting, I might still win, but I'd have to work really hard at it.
Really?
And it would be close.
She's kind of not great at printing.
Yeah.
So that really, I think this is not so much about my daughter as it is about you.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it just really that bad? Though I've been looking at your printing for years. It doesn't strike me as terrible.
You haven't been paying attention.
Not maybe true.
Yeah. So again, Cece, she's about a year away from, it's like she'll be the favorite. You know,
she's like Vladdy Guerrero right now. She's hitting .415 in double A.
So, Bob, I want you to think about just how happy this moment made me.
Okay.
I come home yesterday and I'm going to have a nap. But first, I went down to the gym, worked out. And all I'm thinking is I got a nap because I wake up super early for the morning show. And you know what I was waiting in the fridge? Lasagna.
Mm.
Leftover lasagna. And I forgot it was there. And the best, Amy was away flying. She's a flight attendant. So it's like I had full rein on this lasagna. And it got me thinking, what is the best leftover food?
Okay. So I feel like you got to break it down into different categories. Because there's leftover food that you can still eat cold versus what you have to reheat.
Yep.
Or essentially recook.
Yep.
And there's also, is it for a snack or an actual dinner? Like, is it food that you eat on a plate a second time or with your ass sticking still out of the fridge because your head is in the fridge and in a bowl?
Meal.
Okay.
Meal.
I would say, well, lasagna is real good.
Yeah. Like lasagna. You know, lasagna could be at the top. I mean,
lasagna is good.
The one I thought of, and it's just because I also had this recently, Indian food.
Very good. Well, also because when you heat it up again, the flavors just get even more delicious. There.
And even if you have like the like chunks of chicken or something, because chicken on its own can get dry and stale.
Right, but it's
the next
in sauce
day,
though.
But it's in the sauce,
right?
So it gets protected.
Basically, anything with sauce gets better, especially if you have sauce meets a carb like a rice or a noodles or something, because it just gets absorbed more. Meat doesn't work as good because once you reheat it, tends to dry out.
Yeah.
Like even when you do turkey the next day, you got to have it in a sandwich with mayonnaise.
With mayonnaise and some mushrooms and some gravy can help bring it back.
Gravy. Great point. Great point. So Indian's a very good one.
Yep.
Fish doesn't work.
Fish and salad out. But no, turkey is good when it's within the next day after Thanksgiving. But turkey just on its own on March 10th, not as good.
Yeah, and it also needs a moistening agent. To your point, whether it's mayonnaise or gravy,
it needs
a helper.
Yeah.
It can't do it on its own. It's like DeMar DeRozan. It's not the kind of meat that can carry a meal by itself.
Also, moistening agent, that was the name of my indie rock band. We didn't do very well. We did not do very well. My face on the cover of the poster that we plastered all over the streets. Come see moistening agent. And there was me with the microphone.
Oh, that's awesome. I gotta go. I think lasagna is a really good pick. Although I don't know if it's as good as if you do an eggplant lasagna, because then what happens is the moisture releases from the eggplant and it gets a bit soggy.
Yeah, no.
I think it's got to be beef.
It's got to be a meat-based.
But would you do eggplant lasagna, period?
No.
I actually like it.
Oh, no. I know.
It's also nice with portobello mushroom.
Yeah. Oh, no. See, I would do the mushroom one. If it's my lasagna, it's got to be cheese, beef, or lamb.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I've never had those, but they're just subbing basically one for the other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like your pick of lasagna. I think that's a really good one. Cold Chinese food the next day is my personal favorite reheat takeout.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's so much better the second time, but sweet Jesus, it really is.
It really is. Yeah, 100%.
You almost like want to get too much and have just a little bit to start and then put it in the fridge and really make the reheat the real plan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first meal, that's the subterfuge. That's the, you know, the real one is the next day.
That's funny. Can you imagine if you get a big thing, a takeout from the you know, person comes to the door and you walk right to the fridge and just put it right in.
Put it there for the next day.
See you in 8 hours.
Yeah. Also, man, you can piss off everyone at your workplace when you bring like leftover Indian or Chinese and the smell and everyone, they're sitting there with their salad of compromise and you're sitting there with your leftover Chinese food and they hate you so much because they would stab you in the eye to take your plastic container filled with Chinese food.
To your point, McDonald's is the most cruel of all the foods you can bring to your workplace.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I actually think that Kentucky Fried Chicken has the most seductive smell versus what you actually get.
Yeah.
Because McDonald's smells great and is pretty damn good.
Yep.
But Kentucky Fried Chicken always makes you feel sick, but you never care when you smell it again.
Nope.
It's like it just kicks all your memory right out of your ear and it just replaces it with need.
You're like the dude from Memento. Just, you know, you shark your memory. Just,
I see a note on my hand that says, Pierce. Don't eat chicken.
I'm like, huh, my hand says don't eat chicken. My nose says eat chicken.
When I used to walk home from school, we had a Kentucky Fried Chicken on the street just next to us.
Yeah.
So I walked by it every day on the way home from lunch. Lunch sucked so much in comparison.
Oh, I know.
And every single day I thought, why don't I just detour right?
Yeah.
Why am I going home to Zoodles?
Yeah, exactly.
When there's a three-piece snack box there waiting.
Oh.
Quick, extra, extra, extra sidebar.
Yeah.
When they used to have just a couple salads, what was your salad of choice? We were always macaroni salad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the white, like... Because
you could get potato salad, you could get the mixed vegetable salad, or everyone's personal secret favorite, the mysterious creamy coleslaw.
Creamy coleslaw.
The worst.
Creamy coleslaw, delicious.
I always imagine that's what frog brains looked like.
You know what? That's probably more nutritional than whatever the hell that was. You'd be lucky to get frog brains.
I got a crazy sports story to get to in a little bit, but I want to throw... You know, I tend to be the more logical one of the two of us.
Yep.
No, I tend to be the more, because you have logic in your own way. I don't want to disrespect your thinking. It's more like the more dispassionate of the two of us.
Absolutely, 100%.
You know, I try to look at what's the most objective way to consider something.
I'm more passionate and sometimes consequences. I'm like, I'll deal with you later, consequences.
Don't be crazy, written on hand. But my nose says be crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so why do I feel so bad that the Celtics are up 2-0 over the Raptors? And why does that make... Because I was not a blow-it-up guy, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about this a lot.
Yep.
But when I watch Boston roll over the Celts, or over the Cavs, I should say. Sorry. It makes me wonder, maybe you do need to blow it up. Like, I know you think that, but am I justified in saying this should matter to me?
It should. And here's the thing. I'm going to add some kindling to this fire. It's not just about Boston. In the first round, Indiana blew them out twice as well. Cleveland's four wins in Indiana. Go look at the point, the margin. It was 3 points, 5 points. Do you realize against Boston and Indiana, Cleveland is 4-5, and they've been outscored by like 70, 80 points. Against the Raptors, 4-0, and outscored them by 56. And that's even with, you know, there was two close games and two blowouts. What's going on in Cleveland in the playoffs, Pacers, and now the Celtics, is another plank in my argument for if you could blow it all up and jettison Lowry and DeRozan, you do it.
So there's two things that are really disheartening. Take the score out of it. One is they're playing not just... They're playing hard defense and they're playing smart defense. Let's take them in order. The fact that they're playing hard defense suggests they're not scared.
Yeah.
Like they are up in guys' grills. They are all, they don't look afraid of the Cavs.
Nope.
At all.
Nope.
At all. And everybody, well, with a couple exceptions on the Raptors, looked like they were waiting for something bad to happen and hoped that it didn't. The idea of trying to read a psychological makeup of a team is a bit of a mug's game. Except in this case, the Raptors have made this one pretty easy.
Victor Oladipo looked pretty confident playing up against the Cavs in the first round as well.
And then playing smart defense, and this one's more on Dwayne Casey. For a team that in theory should be talent deprived, where your best player is Al Horford and their best player is LeBron James, it feels like they just don't allow themselves to do dumb things. Mm-hmm. Like they don't leave their man... You know, like they don't leave Kyle Korver to go guard somebody else just because they've got the ball, because they're playing the percentages. Like the Raptors were running around with, you know, keep bringing up chicken.
Yeah.
Like chickens with their heads cut off. Like they didn't, it's like they didn't know what to do and they didn't know why they were doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
Even though they won 59 games. Whereas Boston looks like this finely oiled machine that is going to play this smart brand of basketball no matter who it is. Well, geez, all of that makes the Raptors look terrible.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yes. Everything that's happening in these playoffs. The Raptors, see, here's the thing. Usually, it's the Raptors who make the Raptors look bad in the playoffs. Now it's the Raptors and the Pacers and the Celtics and LeBron. It's all of them.
You know, so Budenholzer goes to Milwaukee.
Yep.
And there was discussions that, you know, Toronto wanted him. They interviewed him. But according to Adrian Wojnarowski, there was no offer made.
Yeah.
And then shortly thereafter, Milwaukee, I guess they looked at that and said, well, it's just, you know. And maybe Budenholzer's camp was playing Toronto off in Milwaukee because you figure they would, right?
Yeah, of course.
You make them
That's
look
what
more
interesting. Yeah, leverage, well, leverage, leverage.
100%. I don't know if he's going to be a good coach with them. I know they have Giannis.
Yeah.
So if he's a better coach, that's good for them.
You know what? Giannis makes you better coach.
Yeah.
You know?
No, apparently they sat down and had a breakfast, discussed it. It reminded me a little bit of Popovich and Duncan sitting down back in the day.
Yeah.
Saying what their respective plans were going to be.
You know what they also they used to do was Popovich flew to Australia, I believe it was Australia or New Zealand, where Duncan was, and they would go swimming in the ocean
together. I read that, yeah.
Of course they would. You know, Stan Van Gundy would never do that. He would never fly. Hey, let's go swimming together. Stan Van Gundy's not doing that.
I'll meet you at Denny's for the Grand Slam breakfast, and we'll talk some X's and O's.
I'll be there early. Don't worry.
we're gonna call this play IHOP.
Yeah. Now, I'm saying this on the front end. I don't know what Masai Ujiri and the Raptors' plans are. Maybe all along the plan is they've got someone in mind, and it's someone within the organization. And if that's true, disregard everything I'm going to say for the next 30 seconds.
Okay.
The concern for Raptor fans, if this coaching search goes on and on and on, and potential coaches say no to Toronto and go to other places, what does that say about how the rest of the NBA views the talent base of the Raptors?
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. I think there's a couple things where Toronto kind of shot themselves in the foot. One is obviously their stars don't play like stars, and every coach knows they're the ones who become culpable for that.
Yeah.
Just as Dwayne Casey did. Did you see Mike D'Antoni's comments about the firing of Dwayne Casey?
No, let me guess. He wasn't happy.
Well, to paraphrase, he called it laughable.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not there to disrespect anybody, but you know, he's a good coach and a very classy guy.
Yeah.
He's one of the better coaches in the league, and it's kind of a laughable situation. There's nothing that hurts you more as an organization. Losing is one thing. Bone-crushing losses really suck, but laughable.
Yeah.
That's like the Raptors were laughable once upon a time. And all of us who loved the team, that hurt. You would hate to see the rest of the league looking at what's happening here and saying, the hell are those guys doing?
Yeah, like red flag.
And 100%.
And the shame is, I mean, that'd be such a shame because everything the Raptors have done has been great. In terms of G League, in terms of Masai Ujiri with Giants of Africa.
The BioSteel facility down by the lake, which is fantastic.
Yes, you know, the developing of the Pirtles, of the Van Vliets, the Siakams, the OG Ananobis. Like, Jerry Stackhouse, you know, doing a great job. Like, everything they're doing has been a success with, of course, the one thing they can't do that also, you know, no one in the East can do, beat LeBron, and most teams don't do, is have a superstar player because they're all in Golden State because Kevin Durant's a coward. So they have done everything else right. But now this with Casey, yeah, you worry. This has put a little red flag.
The plan to beat LeBron is always, you know,
wait for him to leave.
Yeah, and or don't let the other guys beat you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's still getting his points. LeBron is against the Celtics. Like, he's still putting up crazy numbers.
Yep.
But the other guys aren't beating you. And I'm sure that's what Dwayne Casey wanted with how he thought it would work. They just didn't have the personnel to do it and also didn't make the necessary defensive adjustments to accomplish that. But when I keep looking at this, though, I keep coming back to the same thing, which is you can coach guys up to be better up to a point. But in the end, in the playoffs, talent wins.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about creating mismatches and advantages for yourself. And in the NBA, the only way to really do that is to have better players.
Ding, ding. And you know what's funny? You talk about Boston, like the most talented guy is Al Horford. Jaylen Brown, drafted third overall 2 years ago. Jason Tatum, drafted third overall this last year. Those two guys have tons of talent. And it's funny, we're almost overlooking them. Back-to-back, third overall. Now listen, of course, the NBA is littered with guys getting drafted that high and not making it. But the NBA, where do you find your top talent? Usually in the top five. And they got back to back. So, I mean, that's just how much scary Boston.
That's actually a really great point, which is even though they might not be there today,
yeah.
If you just talk about talent, like talent as a concept as opposed to results on the court, God, they got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Wow, they have a lot of talent. And great role players. Every time I watch Marcus Smart, I keep thinking, God, I wish he was a Raptor.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the sense that he's just tough and nuts. Like he plays with a bit, like a kind of a recklessness and fearlessness that I would like to, like we saw this with PJ Tucker last year, who by the way had a great game against the Golden State the other night.
I know.
But you saw that with PJ Tucker about how a guy who gets in there and plays like he's got guts and is actually good enough to contribute.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the great sort of mistakes that hockey GMs made for a lot of years, which is we'll get tough guys, but if they stink, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They got to be good. And PJ Tucker was a good player. Is a good player.
We got about a minute left.
Get out.
You got your crazy sports story, or do you want to save it for next week?
Okay. No. I'll do it today because there's not really much to it. Do you remember that guy in high school who didn't want to leave high school, and he just stayed way past the due date?
The 25-year-old who faked his age.
It's funny you say that because in Dallas, Texas, Sidney Bouvier Gilstrap Portley, a 25-year-old man, was just found out to be posing as a 17-year-old high school student superstar.
Yeah. Here's the thing about that story.
Have you heard this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I know this story. Here's the problem with that story. It sounds like a fun Adam Sandler, Billy Madison story.
Right. But
until you find out he dated a 14-year-old.
Oh, my God.
So it goes from, and you probably didn't see that detail.
Not at all.
From Adam Sandler, Billy Madison, to Chris Hansen to Catch a Predator.
Oh.
That story completely changes when that one little nugget comes out.
Man, I got to learn to read to the final paragraph. You were on your way over, and I saw that headline, and I thought, you know, we'd laugh about, like, the guys we knew in high school, but
By the way, that's
no good.
Same thing that happened to you happened to Michael Landsberg on live radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he didn't read the whole story. And then I sort of shepherded some of the truth in. And then we shepherded away from that story. And then I think we talked about Mark
Hunter. Back away, not today, disco lady.
Hey, how about Mark Hunter getting passed over? Anyway. And on that note,
Bob. Oh, man, so that happy note.
I've missed you.
I miss you, too. I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next Thursday. You take care and keep us posted. Everything going on with you and George.
Will do. Take care, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.